the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me. I won't fear.
Anointing,
my soul,
my soul. Amen. Let us, as they're moving along, to keep the service moving. Amen. Let us greet our pastor. Amen. With one mind and one accord, let us greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen. Can we say praise the Lord again?
Praise the Lord.
We do bless the Lord. We thank God, amen, for being in the house of the Lord. Wonderful Lord God. Everybody glad to be in church, my God. Everybody glad to be in church. Amen. We could be anywhere else, but thank God for allowing to assemble ourselves together. Can we just say praise the Lord again? Truly thank God for my wife, blessed up the life of the strength. Amen. Before the Lord. And as I often say, if ever there was a time when we need the Lord, today is that time. Yes. Amen. There's so much taking place behind the scenes that we don't know about. Even as Mr. Simon said, he didn't know why, but God led him away from that job. Many things we don't know, but we have the Lord on your side. God will make up the difference. Can we say hallelujah? And we thank God for those that travel with us in Georgia down to the Light of the World Conference. It was an outstanding conference. And we went down in one bus and came back in a different one. Amen. But how many know still God is good? Well, how many know God is good? Amen. We bless the Lord for that. Amen. Just, we did everything we could do right with the bus. We checked everything. We made all the floors, sure all the floors were full. And on our way back home from eating one night, my brother said, the bus is making some noises. Well, the way I took him, my brother told me that if anything goes wrong, the bus shuts itself off so you don't damage the motor. Our bus did not read the manual. He did not read the manual, and some kind of way it threw a rod and put a hole right through the side of the block. Amen. So we were out on the side of the road for a few hours, and I was talking to Bishop. He kept saying, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. As a bishop, listen, we did what we could do. Amen. I can't be discouraged. The Bible says in everything, we ought to do what? If ever there's a time we need to learn to live what we preach, this is that time. I said, Bishop, I can't be discouraged. I said, listen, we did what we could. So if God took that one, how many know God has another plan? And we just praise the Lord for that. It would have been nice if we could have got back home. But we don't question God, right? Yeah. Just be truthful. You know, all of us are human. Yeah. I've encouraged Brother Fritz. He's like, oh my God, I got to go back home and face Dean George. I said, this is Dean George's baby. What am I going to do? I said, don't worry about it, Fritz. Brother Fritz would say, listen, we did what we could do. I mean, there's sometimes when things happen, and even when we went to the bus shop, the gentleman and Al and PJ Harris and the bus company were so nice. They took the bus in, worked on it, and we said, well, how much do we owe? So listen, you on the side of the road, we're just trying to help you on that. And then he said, where do you want to take the bus? He said, well, Chris, wait a minute. Before we figure out where we're going to take it, how much you want to charge? He said, listen, I'm trying to help you on that. He said, I'm going to take it wherever you want it. If you want to give a donation, you can. If you need the money to get back, you should just make way. As a matter of fact, you need a way to get back home. How many of you serve a good God? So my wife always said, when you get lemons, make what? Lemonade. Amen. So we got lemon, we made lemonade. But nevertheless, God is good. We thank God for Bishop providing his bus for us to come back home. Amen. To provide a bus driver to drive us all the way back here as well. Amen. How many know God always has a ram in the bus? So if we hear the God cloud, you still got to see God. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. We thank God for us. Yes, Sister Rhonda and our family here from North Carolina. Amen. Thank God for my brother Elder Joseph, Elder Timothy, Evangelist Pat, and my niece Marquita, looking so grown, being 18 years old. I said, go the world's like wrong lady sitting over there by herself. Amen. They grow up fast, too fast sometimes. Amen. Come on, she's born in the army. What? You're going to be another tailor? The dollar's a bigger than you. Amen. So we just thank God, amen, for them being here, for traveling mercies. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which is going to be coming from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Amen. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And, you know, our message is laid up in, don't focus on the storm, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And last week we spoke a message. Don't talk about what if or what would or should. Difference. Let's just be what God has us today. Because if you talk about what could have, should have, would have, guess where you stand? In the past. If the Bible said, looking on to Jesus, he is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. So we're going to read from 2 Kings. We're going to read, starting in the 6th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. And once again, last week we went over a man that was born blind, and Jesus healed him. All right, so keep that in mind as we read this. Then the king of Assyria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. All right, now I just want to skip down to the 12th verse, because he kind of repeats the same thing over and over again. And one of his servants said, "Not my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bed chamber." It's why it's good to have a man of God. What you don't know, it's good to have God, because what you don't know, how can God know it? And he said, "Go and spy who he is, that I may send and fetch him." And when he told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send ye thither horses and chariots and a great host." And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered him, "Fear not, for they that
be with us."
Oh, we bless your name. I'm going to have that testimony. Amen. "They that be with us are what?
More
than they that be with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he spoke them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, once again we say thank you. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be saved. Lord, thank you for allowing to be in church. Lord, thank you for allowing to assemble ourselves together. Oh God, your word declares that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So right now we are praising you. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we honor you for how good you've been. Lord, you've been better to us than we can ever be to ourselves, and for that we say thank you. And Lord, our hearts desire today, Lord, send the word, hallelujah, that if we came and bowed, that it might loose us. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus. That we came in with spiritual blindness, send the word so that we may see clearly spiritually. Lord, if we came in and we couldn't hear a word from you, Lord, we ask you to send the word to loose our ears so we may spiritually hear. Lord, send the word to heal the bruised. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus to set the captive free. And for this we thank you, can the church say in Jesus' name. Jesus. I want to ask you today, how many of you have Jesus as a friend? Well, the Proverbs say, he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. When you have a friend like Jesus, how many know he loves us at all times? God will love you when you're up. God will love you when you're down. God will love you when you're doing right, and he'll love you when you're doing wrong. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Psalm said, "What needless pains we about God. Because he didn't say take some things.
Everything.
But take what?
Everything.
Everything to him.
In prayer.
And so my question to us today, how many things have we left out that we should have taken to him in prayer? Oh. Amen. Everything to him in prayer. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
As I said last week, we went over the blind man, the Jesus man, and how Jesus healed him. And the man was born blind from birth. And they said one of the most tragic things that could happen to you back in those days is to be born blind. But the prevailing mindset was somebody that had to commit sin in order for the man to be born blind. But Jesus addressed them and said, you are thinking it altogether wrong. You think somebody sinned. God, he said, but no, my Father has set this time and hour. How many know God has an appointed time? And in God's appointed time, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how long you've been in this situation. When you arrive at God's appointed time, how many know God can turn it around? So the blind man had been blind from birth. And Jesus came by, hallelujah. And he said to the blind man, he said, go to the pool of Siloam, that he made clay out of his spittle, and anointed his eye. And the scripture said, when he sent the blind man, the blind went away blind, when he came back, see. Oh, Lord, thank you. I wonder how many of us today, we don't talk about our natural blindness now, we talk about our spiritual blindness. Because when the Lord did for this young man that was blind from birth, he not opened his natural eyes, but he also opened his spiritual, because he didn't know who Jesus was. But after Jesus healed him, and he had to deal with all those, how many of you got those that always question what God is doing in your life? How many know you got those that say, I don't believe God did this, and I don't believe you really had that? They went to his parents and said, well, is this your son that was born blind? They said, yes, this is our son that was born blind. He said, well, how did he receive this sight? But you got to be careful in this, especially in this church age that we're living in, that if we don't like the challenges, or we don't like, we don't let others intimidate us, that we won't make a stand for God. So his parents were afraid to answer, for they were afraid of what they might lose. I always say in this church, if you lose God, you lose everything. Keep me out of the temple. Keep me out of a religious place. Just let me hold on to Jesus. His mother and father were afraid, so they said, go ask him for yourself. And the blind man said, a man by the name of Jesus. At that time, he didn't even know who he was. He said, all I know is he told me to go wash, and you'll come see me. He said, and I went and washed, and I came seeing. Hallelujah. So after they finished questioning the blind man, because he confessed that Jesus is more Lord than Christ. Because he confessed that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they put him out of their temple. But how do you know when man puts you out, God will receive him unto himself. So Jesus came and found the man. He said, what happened? He said, they put me out. He said, well, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, I don't even know who he is. He said, I speak unto thee, am he. So he said, he fell down and worshiped. Y'all with me? So now we know that when you don't worship anybody but God. So not only did his natural eyes get open, but his spiritual eyes get open. Because he fell down and worshiped. I'm afraid there's a whole lot in church today that got the natural side. blind. They can't see what God is doing. So this is an account where the king of Assyria had determined that he was going to attack Israel. Now, this is why it's so good to have someone who knows how to get a hold of God. I remember when we first moved to New York, and after we all got saved, my brother said, I don't know if Joe remember, he said, my mom said she's going to put us in God's hands. Amen. Remember that conversation? He said, she put us in the best hands in life. Amen. She put us in God's hands. Now all three of us are saved. All three of us are helped. She put us in the right hand. Can we say hallelujah? So even in that time, you don't know what's going on with your children, put them in the hand of the man that steals the water. Put them in God's hand. Amen. But when you're in God's hand, no matter what the enemy does to distract or to hurt you or to destroy you, how many know God can still make a way? So it's good.
Yeah.
What trouble are you having that you can't see God? What situations have gotten the best of you that you can't see God? And what I like about God is, listen, the enemy came to attack Elijah. And then the God said, now your enemies come at you when your heart is ready to blind your enemies. So they came down. Listen, when you when God is fighting your battles, that one of the songwriters said, no longer the word of God said, be still. And let the Lord fight your battles. Anybody want God to fight your battles? You don't have to pick up a resort. You don't have to pick up no weaponry. All you have to do is give God praise. When the enemy came against the whole of that body, you were outnumbered. The Bible said when they began to praise the Lord, God sent an ambushment and attacked their enemies. So the enemy came down to attack Elijah. Now, it's mad. When you come in and you go, listen, this is the vice. Get this picture. This is the mighty God we serve. They knew Elijah was in the house because they had surrounded him. When God is fighting for you, apply your enemies. So they come to the one they surround and say, we're looking for you. Amen. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Listen, amen. Listen. Sometimes you gotta understand what God is doing. I'm looking for you. Elijah said, well, this ain't the man. And this ain't the way. So what did God do? He took the bodies off of Elijah's servant and put it on the army. When you learn to see God in your situations, though you may not have been able to see him in the beginning, how do you know God will transfer the bodies? He had taken off of your enemy, off of you, and put it on your enemy. And then the 23rd chapter, Job said, oh, that I knew where I so much, all I can see is my problem. You need to get down on your knees. You need to take it to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. So we don't have peace of mind. Bishop Reese went over, he said, God said he would keep them in.
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace was what? I often wonder why they don't use the rest of that scripture. Alright, so pull up Isaiah 26:3 for a minute. Because they end that at the end of the scripture. Because they trust in him. So a lot of us are trying to get perfect peace. We keep our minds staying on him, but we don't trust him. And because we don't trust him, we don't have perfect peace. And because I do my Hebrew words, instead of letting me go, it gives you peace on top of peace. Perfect means peace, peace. Anybody want peace, peace? Thank you. sorry. But this job was bad. It was good for me. Oh, but the money was right. You don't need money. You need God. You need favor. You need his blessing. So they came back the second time. And I imagine that God's mind said, listen, I already told you no how many times. But how many know God knows what's in us? He knows what's in our enemy. So God said, well, I already told you no, but obviously you have determined to do what you want to do. Because you were stubborn a little bit. So even though I said no, God said, I'm not going to let you go. Because you already determined to do what you want to do. Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all talk to yourself, but this is for the enemy. So I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm not talking about you, Minister.
Blessed
is
you.
Blessed is you. That's what he said down to a billion dollars. Years ago, blessed is you. So Baylor, God told me, he said, listen, if the men come and get you in the morning, they go with them. The Bible said, Baylor rose up early at night. And so it's important to read the scripture, right? He didn't say the men came again. He got up and went to find the men. Why? Because he was driven by doing things the wrong way. He was driven by the ways of unrighteousness. Listen, let me just say something. If you work for God and you fall out the money, you need to retire. Anything you do for God, if you're a musician, if you're a singer, if you're a worshiper, and money first, retire. It's out of order. Jesus said, freely you have received. And we know it's a copy, you have to work. But when it's all about the money, retire. You know what? All right, so Balaam gets up and goes up in the scripture, and the angel of the law was kindled against Balaam. Because he went. When you say, well, God, you said if they come and get you, go. But the scripture never said they came again.
Amen.
So he went and got them and said, let's go, I'm about to get my money. You know how sometimes saints can be a little dishonest about the money? Well, why did you do this? Oh, you don't know what I went through. God knows what we went through.
Yes.
Because God does not see as man sees. Y'all, everybody in God, I'm just a truth preacher. Right, I just want to say, you know what, I don't care. I'll go out and preach and say, I don't care if y'all bring me back, but I have to say this, I want to see what God put in my heart.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't chase money.
Amen.
Chase the Lord.
Because
when you chase money, everything you get, God will take away. But back to man, you're dealing with blindness, spiritual blindness. We're dealing with not being able to do what?
See God.
Even when God is trying to get your attention, you can't see God. So the scripture said, Balaam went with him, and the Lord stood in the way to kill Balaam. And this bad shape. Anytime your animal can see God, and you can. So the donkey saw God. But Balaam was so determined to do what he wanted to do, he could not see God. Lord, I bless your name. God never let me get to a place where you're speaking and trying to stop me from going in the error of my way. But I'm so determined to do me. These new sayings they got today messing all the people up. Do you and do me. You better do God.
Amen.
Amen. Forget about doing me and doing you. I don't even learn the cliches. Because I just want to do God. But Balaam was determined, so that donkey turned out. So the angel of the Lord stood in another way to destroy him. And this animal saw God and turned again. And now, at this time, Balaam is getting angry. Instead of Balaam realizing, is there something going on? But he was blind because Balaam had determined to do what he wanted to do so he could get the
money.
Unrighteousness, wages of unrighteousness could be anything. It could be in a relationship that God don't want you in. If it's unrighteous, don't pursue. It could be getting a job because it looks good. If God don't want you in it, don't pursue it. Y'all with me? Because we acknowledge him in all the ways he will do what? Direct our path, but we have to trust him with all our heart. So Balaam, the third time, he takes down his sword. Now you know you're in a bad shape. The animal can see God and you start talking to your animal. It's even worse. Your animal start talking back to you. You're so determined to do what you want to do.
God sees us when we mess up. Just because we say, oh, I love the Lord, God says,
prophesied.
Yes.
And we should learn the story of Job. Job lost everything, but because he held on to his way, the Bible said, he that had clean hands shall grow what? Stronger and stronger. Let the righteous hold on. Hold on. If you hold on to your way, at the end you receive more than what you had in the beginning. But too many are giving up on God. Too many blind people. Too many determined to do what they want to do. I highly encourage you to do anything. Say, Lord, speak to me. Learn to have an ear to hear when God is speaking. In your crisis situation, don't allow the crisis to blind you from seeing God. Don't allow other people to blind you from seeing God. Don't allow anyone to tell you, well, if you do this, you're going to lose that. God said, if I'm speaking, who are you going to love? If I'm speaking, who are you going to obey? Because whoever you hear yourself serves to obey, are you with me? Are y'all listening? Y'all. I said, man, you're all over the place. I'm just trying to tell you, there's too many church. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many talks you speak in. I don't care how you fast and pray. If you don't see God first, that's out of order. If you want God to deliver you, if you want to be able to see spiritually, you got to say, Lord, open my eyes. Just like Elijah prayed for his servant. Too many in blind, spiritual blindness. Yes, you can see naturally, but you can't even see what God is doing. You can't see the devil has been trying to kill you. You went to this place and there was a shooting, and you just barely got out. Look what God did for you. He said, well, one thing. I knew it was coming. No, God spared you and your loved one. So he made a way for you. So don't think get your attention. Because you haven't been able to see God through your trials and situation. So God allows the situation to repeat, not to overthrow you, but so that you can see him. So we need to get to the point that the Bible says about Samuel. Samuel was in the house of God, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So the Lord called Samuel three times. And I'm afraid this is what's happening in church. God is calling the saints, and we keep running to people. Amen? God's calling you. Why do you keep running to a man? Friday, Eli said, listen, son, I didn't call you. He said, so the next time you hear the Lord say, we need to ask the Lord to ask him, say, speak, Lord, for thy. Listen, not thy follower, not every. A servant, that means my will is your will. Speak, Lord, for thy.
Hallelujah. Song said it may look like we're surrounded.